So the topic today is a very exciting topic, and I have to say, I've learned a tremendous amount. Astronomy is not my thing. So in that world, if there's something that I misspeak, please share. We're always learning together. Whenever I teach Torah, we're learning together. We're learning together. So please shout it out. We have a joint learning. So I'd like to begin by quoting a pasuk that actually became a name for a sefer that discusses these issues. Pasuk in Kuf Lamed Tes, Pasuk Ches in Sefer Tehillim says, "In Esak Shamayim Sham Ata Va'atzia Sh'ol Hinecha." If you travel and ascend to the Shamayim, to the heavens, Hashem says, David HaMelech says, "Sham Ata, I will be there too." Wherever you go in this earth and even beyond, Sham Ata, I am there with you. I am there, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, to have that relationship and that connection with you. Which leads us to our topic today. July 20th, 1969 was one of those moments, if you were living during that time, by my birthday cake you could tell that I was not, right? Was a moment in time where you said, where was I? Where was I when I experienced and I saw Neil Armstrong make that statement? You know, and I think for many of us, that's the way we looked at it. But there are many Rabbanim that took that even one step further. And they looked at this as an opportunity to explore an area of halacha that really was never discussed before in history. Because as Ilan Ramon put it, and we'll see this quote later, he was able to accomplish something that his grandmother never thought was even possible to accomplish. So if you turn to page one, you'll see just history.com points out here, again, the timeline of the 1969 moon landing. Later, you can be able to do trivia, and you'll see which are those three people on top. Who can name them? Anyone can name the three people? What? Aaron, go ahead. Neil Armstrong, good. Michael Collins, and Edwin Buzz Aldrin. Awesome, okay. Okay, great, awesome. So if you go down to the third paragraph, at 10:39 p.m., this is July 19th, they entered the orbit. At 1:46 p.m. the next day, July 20th, famous statement was made. The statement was, the Eagle has landed. So 10:39, 5 hours ahead of schedule, Armstrong opened the hatch of the new lunar module. As he made his way down the module's ladder, a television camera attached to the craft recorded his progress and beamed the signal back to Earth. Where hundreds of millions, even in Israel, and we'll see soon, were watching this moment in time with great anticipation. At 10:56, Armstrong stepped off the ladder, planted his foot on the moon's powdery surface, and stated famously, "That's one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind." 19 minutes later, Aldrin joined him on the moon's surface. By 1:11 a.m. July 21st, the astronauts were back in the lunar module, and right, they slept that night on the surface of the moon. At 1:54 p.m., the Eagle went back to descend back to Earth. They left something there. This I did not know. But they left a sign there that stated, here men from the planet Earth first set foot on the moon, July 1969 AD. We came in peace for all mankind. Right? So that is the piece of history that is etched in many of our minds and throughout, especially in America. We could talk for a long time about what this did for the American psyche in 1969, the space race, the Russians versus the Americans. But I'd like to take this now from a halachic perspective and also discuss the rabbinic reaction at the time. What did the rabbis feel about this? We're living during the time, the Gedolim, the Rabbanim, were they talking about this? Were there speeches about this? Or this just, whatever, another piece of history that you know, it's for the headlines, but not for the shul? And how was that addressed? So first and foremost, this came up directly in an article in Hatsofet. Hatsofet was a newspaper that was published in Israel. I think weekly. So if you look here on the first source, I have to thank our neighbor, Rabbi Bergstein, for locating this article. I could not find it. He's an expert researcher and a big Talmud Chacham. So he found over here in Hatsofet, they interviewed Rav Shlomo Gorin. Shlomo Gorin was famously the Rav who blew the shofar after the Six-Day War, the Rav HaRashi of the army. So he writes here several halachic conclusions, but I want to take one at a time. And he says, and not only Rav Gorin, but somebody that day went to Lubavitcher Rebbe and asked him the same shaila. And as I told this to Rabbi Yudin on Friday night, Rabbi Yudin said, the Rav, Rabbi Salvechik, was asked the same shaila as well. What's the shaila? Kiddush Levana. But not what you're thinking. Do you say Kiddush Levana in the moon? We'll get there in a second. But there's a line in Kiddush Levana that goes against stepping on the moon. There's a line in Kiddush Levana. Right? And some people said, oh my gosh, like all of our Judaism is undone. You got to take this page out of the Siddur. How can we say this line? What line am I referring to? Kishem Shani Rokei Kinegdech. We say this three times. Just like, right, I am dancing before you. Ve'ini yachol lingoaba. We say to the moon. At that point, you lift up your feet and you start dancing. Just like I am prepared to dance before you, the moon. Ve'ini yachol lingoaba. And I can't touch you. Kach lo yuchlu kol oivai lingoa bilira'a. So too, all of my enemies can't ever touch me. They can't affect me. They can't hurt me. So all of these gedolim weighed in. Hello, look at this line. Ve'ini yachol lingoa bach. That's not true. A man just stepped down on the moon, right? So what do we do? What do we do with that line in our Siddur that's been there for thousands of years? Okay? So Rav Shlomo Gorin writes this. I underlined it in Hatsofet. He says, we have a problem. Houston, right? We have a problem. So he writes that perhaps it's not a problem at all. Why? There's a different language in Masechet Sofer. Masechet Sofer is a small Masechta, which has a lot of the language of our Siddurim, which has a different language of what we should say for Kiddush Levana. What do we say there? Kishem Shani Rokei Kereidech, just like I am prepared to dance before you. Ve'eni nogeabach, and I am not touching you right now. Kach im yirkadu, etc. Right, if people try to get me, they're not going to attack me. So Rav Gorin says, based on the historic events of July 20th, 1969, change the Siddur. Change the words of the Siddur and change it to Kishem Shani Barakei Kinegdech V'eni Nogeabach. And that's how you alleviate this issue. Something happened in history, things change. Linus Nighty, I haven't seen this written, but Rav Gorin, this might be Rav Gorin's opinion in general, how we react to historic events, Klape the Siddur. I'm referring to Nachim. Nachim is the tefillah that we say once a year on Tisha B'Av, Bezrat Hashem. Last year was the last time we ever said Nachim. But Nachim talks about Yerushalayim, how it's Bezuya, Charefa, Shomema, it's disgusted, it's scorned, it's empty, nobody's there. Go to Yerushalayim today. It's full. It's populated. There are buildings, right? Jonathan just came from there. So, what are you talking about? So Rav Gorin, after 1967, changed the text of Nachim to a lot of disagreement. A lot of people, a lot of Gedolim were unhappy with him. But it could be that Rav Gorin himself views the text of the Siddur might be, in some ways, you have to react to what's going on in history. Again, Rav Gorin later on in his life, he died in the early 80s. Some say that he retracted his opinion about Nachim. But Lubavitcher Rebbe and Rebbe Soloveitchik were both very emphatic. Minhag, number one, minhag avasteinu biyadeinu. You can't change a text of a siddur just because of one event in history. Number one. Number two, that's not what the line means. What does the line mean? Kishem sha'ani rokeit. I can't touch you. What it means is, right now, presently, I am not on the move. Presently, I am in front of Shomrei Torah. I'm in front of Shomrei Torah declaring Kiddush Levana. So right now, I'm not touching the moon. So just like now, I'm not touching the moon, right? So too, my enemies can't touch me, as in Klal Yisrael. That's what Lubavitcher Rebbe over here in the next source writes explicitly. That's what the line means in Kiddush Levana. And the Rav also, this is from Rabbi Yudin, he heard this in the name of the Rav, that they both agree emphatically that we do not change the language in the Siddur because of this event. And in fact, that's what it really means, ultimately, based on what happened. So, and again, Art Scroll, I looked in a few different Siddurim. None of the Siddurim, I looked at Korin, I looked at a few others. Not one of them followed the instructions of Rav Korin from this interview. We all follow the Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and Rebbe and the Rav, and Rebbe Soloveitchik in this vantage point. The now, do you say on this notion, do you say Kiddush Levana on the moon? Halach L'maisa, is it Kiddush Levana on the moon? What?
It's never
Mischadish. So you don't say it on the moon. There's no Molad on the moon. What? Well, right, so that's not a halacha. There's no Gemara that talks about Kiddush Hachama. Birchas Hachama, that would be a good point. So, Rav Menashe Klein, who is the Hungarian Rav from Borough Park, he writes here in a tshuva that according to him it seems obvious that you would say Kiddush Levana on the moon. Kiddush Levana is not about your vantage point to where you see the moon, but it's a mitzvah that every Jew says when the moon is mischadesh, right? And obvious, so the only difference would be is the person who's saying it on the moon would look down and not look up, right? But he believes you would say Kiddush Levana. There's a sefer called Birchas Levana. In there, I saw that's the quote of Rav Menashe Klein. He suggests, based on everybody's suggestion here, that maybe you wouldn't say it, but he doesn't quote anyone that goes that far, that says you wouldn't say Kiddush Levana. So it seems to be that Rav Menashe Klein is very strong on saying Kiddush Levana. But let's move forward. And now, two things happened after 1969. There is one big adol general discussion that happened, and then we're going to talk about one more specific issue. In 1969-1970, that's Tavshin Chavtes, Tavshin Lamed, many Rabbanim were writing about this issue. Rav Menachem Mendel Kasher, giant Talmid Chacham, author of the Torah Shlema, he writes, he died in 1983, he wrote a sefer called Ha'adam Al Hayareach, Man on the Moon. Man on the Moon, discussing a lot of these issues. The thing is, what do you compare it to? Right? So there's very few, I didn't go through the whole, it's about 60, 70 pages. I didn't go through everything, I went through a lot of it. There's very few sources that could be quoted because who discussed this issue beforehand? But there was a Torah journal called Kobetz Noam that was written in the 60s, which discussed this issue. And in tradition, you know, brought out by the RCA, in 1965 already, when the space race was beginning, or was in the middle of the space race, they also started discussing these issues. Rav J. David Bleich, who's Baruch Hashem, continues to write on contemporary halachic issues, wrote about it as well. So it all starts, the tumult all starts, with a Rav by the name of Rabbi Zion Fuhrer. He was a shul Rav in Eretz Israel. He has some tremendous svarim on Chumash. And he wrote an article, and they asked him, what's your reaction? Do we keep mitzvos on the moon? And he said, at first blush, I think that a Jew is not obligated to keep any mitzvos on the moon. You're only commanded in this earth. When you're beyond the earth, you're putter from mitzvos. He quotes a Gemara on the next page. If you turn to the next page, which is missing from my sources. Strange. He quotes Gemara Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Zayin. Gemara Kiddushin quotes a pasuk in Devarim. Amar Rav Yehuda Hachi Kamar, Kol Mitzvah Shechovas Aguf. The Torah could be split up into two different categories of halachos, mitzvos. You have chovas ha-gavra, obligation of the person, and chovas ha-karka, obligations based on vis-a-vis the land that you live in. So basically, every mitzvah is a chovas ha-gavra, except for mitzvos ha-tluyos varetz, truma, ma'aser, shmita, yovel. Those are mitzvos that are called chovas ha-karka. Their obligations to a specific land, to Eretz Yisrael. Shabbos is a chovas hazman, but it's a chovas gavra, tefillin, right? Think of tzitzis, another example. Davening is about zman. So we talk about mitzvos now, we can put them into three categories. Rav Fira puts them into two, chovas hakarka and chovas haguf. And it's based on the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin Daf Lamed Zayin, where the pasuk says, "Eila hachukim v'mishpatim asher tishmarun la'asos." These are the mitzvos and the laws, statutes that you have to keep. Ba'aretz, in this land, bechol hayamim asher atem chayim al ha'adama, in the land, in all the days that you are living on this earth. On this earth, and the Gemara says you would think that all the mitzvos that you do should be only be relegated to Eretz Israel. Therefore, the Torah says, Al Ha'adama, teaching you only here. And then he takes a step further and he says, Al Ha'adama, what does that mean? In this earth. And he says, there's no time in space. Time is very different in space. Therefore, putter completely from mitzvos above. In Shemayim, on the moon, orbiting the earth, same thing according to him, you're exempt from all mitzvos. After he wrote this, he made a lot of people very angry. Okay? And shocked, right? Literally up in arms. If you turn back to page 3, you'll see. Rabbi Nachman Ben Kasher. This is what caused him to write this sefer. He says, what do you mean? You're telling me you're a Jew is exempt from mitzvos based on where they are? Hayitachin, it's possible for that to be? I do not accept it. And he writes, Kima Torah Levana, that's the fifth chapter in his book. Lefiani Staiti Bara Bli Shub Safik Shahagdara Shahalachahi, right? That all mitzvos are a chovas agavra. Every single mitzvah that we do is an obligation on us. He writes, no matter where you are, Bechom Akom Shehu Chai, wherever you are living, right? Here, in the Antarctica, in the Arctic Circle, we'll talk about Norway very, very soon. Wherever you are, you're living on Mars, you are chayiv in mitzvos. And he says, we have to figure out, what is it going to be about Shabbos? What's going to be about davening? What's going to be about Kriyat Shema? What's going to be about Pesach? We have to figure that out. But he says, not a question that you are obligated in all the mitzvos. Rav Shlomo Goren takes sort of, at first blush, by the way, afterwards, I found this on the KBY website. I'm not sure why they have an institute for halachas of the space age, but they do. On the KBY website, Karen Biavne, they have a further discussion between Rav Fierer and Rav Kasher, where they write letters back and forth to each other. The Rav Fierer writes, you know, maybe this is at first blush I held this, maybe I have to look into it even more. But then he quotes other proofs for this notion that he really believes very strongly that maybe you're putter from all mitzvos. And I have to tell you, it's not only Rabbi Tzion Fuhrer. Rav Moshe Sternbach is one of the Gedolim today, lives in Eretz Yisrael, lives in Har Nof. He writes, Mishi Yatza Chutz Le'olam Zeh, somebody who leaves this earth, this atmosphere, Hifkia Atzmo, Mi Mitzvos Atluyos Bisman, You're exempt from all mitzvos that are dependent upon time. All time mitzvos are not relevant in Shamayim, above, beyond earth. And therefore, he writes, Rav Shlomo Bach writes, it is aser. It is prohibited for any Jew to go somewhere where we are going to be exempt from mitzvos. Right? He says there's a danger, by the way, also. But therefore, he says, right, that we cannot start a Jewish colony on Mars. Right? It would not work, right? He said you'd be aser to go, because by going, we would pater ourselves, exempt ourselves from mitzvos. Fascinating. But it's along similar lines. Yeah, Mendy. Just saying, it would be different for Mars, theoretically.
On Mars, if you're rotating around the Earth, I mean around the sun, you have day and night, no?
I'm going to call the science teacher for lifeline here. Yeah.
The moon has one side that's light and one side that's dark, because their period of revolution is the same as their period of rotation.
So
if you're
on the outside,
so there isn't
any dark shadows.
Good. We'll talk about that.
You have to go.
Let's see, Rabbi Liefer, yeah. Let's see what's that. Yeah, Rabbi Liefer, go ahead.
Why is it different than someone who's in an Arctic area?
Good.
Where it's dark for 7 months
good.
A year? Will you count 7 days and keep traveling?
Good.
Seventh day traveling? That doesn't
count. So Rabbi Liefer is asking a great point, and we're going to, everybody's asking great points. Rabbi Liefer is going to be the segue to the next section. Why is this any different than going to the Arctic Circle, going to places and visiting places that are full 24 hours of sun or full 24 hours of darkness? What's the difference? So Rav Kasher actually writes that. He writes that Shabbos on the moon or orbiting the moon should be no different, orbiting the earth should be no different than that Shiloh. Okay, so what we're going to do next is go to that Shiloh and then go back to the moon. Yeah. Right, so the moon, just on some of my research that I did, a day on the moon is about, compared to the Earth, is like 34 days, approximately. 34 and a half days. So it's like, this modem are completely off. We'll talk about orbiting in a minute, because that's a very different Shiloh. It's the same Shiloh, but it's different numbers that we're working with. So Rabbi Blythe quotes Rav Gorin. He quotes Rav Gorin in this article from HaTzofeh, just clear over here, that he also says maybe mitzvah tzuyos bisman, right? They are your putter from, okay? Your putter from those mitzvos. But then Rav Gorin says something very interesting, right? He says, and again, he was known as a very creative thinker. And Rav Gorin writes that maybe on the moon, right, you just have to follow Earth's time for all of your mitzvos and all of your zmanim. Why is that? Because everything you're using to live on the moon comes from Earth, right? Because if you think about it, how can I wash the tilas yadayim on the moon? You can't. How can you put a sukkah up on the moon? You have to tie it down because otherwise gravity, right? Eating think about tefillin. How are you going to do all these things, right? So whatever you're going to use, the products are going to be made on Earth. Therefore, he says, therefore the person is rooted in earth and is obligated in mitzvos. He doesn't then go further and say, what's the zmanim, what time, what part of earth, it's summer here, it's winter there, but what, you know, it's 7 hours ahead in Eretz. What do we follow? That we're going to discuss in the next section. But he believes that at least the Rabbanan, but maybe even on a Deraisa level, because you're using earth products, you're still connected to earth and you're obligated in mitzvos on a Torah level. Okay, any questions? Great, so let's move on. Let's move forward. So this is great. In 1969, this is all theoretical. This is all theoretical. In 2002, 2003, this became practical and relevant. Why is that? Ilan Ramon. Ilan Ramon was in Cape Canaveral, and he went to the Rav Kanikov, who was the, I think I see how to pronounce his name, Rav Sikanikov. He, Chaim Sikanikov, he's the Chabad Shliach in Cape Canaveral. And he made a meeting with him. And if you search online, you'll find like he wrote a whole story about him. Ilan Ramon was a beautiful Jew, and he felt that he personally didn't keep Shabbos, for whatever reason, but he felt that as the first Jew orbiting the earth, he was obligated to keep Shabbos to whatever degree. It could be there are other Jews went before him. He was the first one that cared enough to ask this question, that he felt that representing world Jewry, that he should be keeping Shabbos in outer space. So he asked Chaim Sikanikov, Chabad Shliach, this Shaila. What do I do in outer space? What's the halacha? How do I keep Shabbos? So he did not go to the moon, but he orbited the earth. Okay? That's a little bit different. It's going to be probably the same Shaila. Not that many people connect the two, but it's the same question. Orbiting the earth, right? How often do you see sunrise when you orbit the earth? Michael? Every 90 minutes. So, is it every 90 minutes a new day, right? Is it every 7 sets of 90 minutes you have to keep another Shabbos, right? Do you have to put on tefillin every single, right, 90 minutes? Do you have to daven Shachar's Mincha Maariv every 90 minutes, right? So, no? This is what he wanted to know. So Kanikov said, I don't know, but I'm going to send your Shaila to different Gedolim. Okay? So he said, this is all published in a Torah journal called Or Yisrael. You can find it online on HebrewBooks.org. Email me, and I'm happy to share with you I have like folders and folders of information. Great Torah. This is good learning. So he proposed a Shaila to a few different Rabbanim. He proposed a Shaila to Rav Tzvi Rav Levi Yitzhak Halperin. Rav Halperin passed away last year in October. He was the Rav of Machon Lev. Machon Lev is a college and a yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and he was really at the forefront for a lot of technology and halacha. That's one person, and he asked this shaila also to Rav Gavriel Tziner. He's a huge posig in America. He lives in Borough Park, I believe, and he's the author of this 25-volume sefer called Nitei Gavriel on all practical halacha, and several other rabbanim. We're going to focus on those two, and he asked the shaila. And again, it created a tumult. And a sefer was created. Rav Halperin wrote a sefer, eventually in memory of Ilan Ramon, titled by the pasuk that I quoted in the beginning of Tehillim, Im Esek Shamayim. If I can reach up to Shamayim, Shanata, God, you are there too. So that's the Shaila. That's the Shaila. So go to page 6. You'll see there's an article written in 1965 in tradition by Rabbi Dr. Azriel Rosenfeld, passed away a few years ago, who laid out some of these shailas, like what would be the questions. Already he was thinking in 65 during the space race, what's going to be? Right, so 5 different questions. On Mars, the day's a little over 24 and a half hours long. So do colonists keep the Sabbath according to the Mars or according to Earth? Right, the 90 days, you know, when you're orbiting the Earth, it's 90 minutes per orbit. So is that a day, according to halacha? What do you do? Etc. You can see all of the shailas over here. But a lot of this is going to be rooted in a pasuk and a rashi. Let's begin there. So, all the way in the beginning of Bereishis, Torah says, Elokim yihi ma'oros b'rakei ha'shamayim. Hashem says, what day of the week is this when God is creating the sun, the moon, and the stars? Day 4. Right? Yihi ma'oros b'rakei ha'shamayim lahavdil ben hayom uvein halayla. Let there be luminaries in the sky to separate between day and night. Vayula osos. These should be signs. Number one, ula moadim, for appointed seasons, uliyamim, vishanim. The luminaries in the sky should be signs for moadim, appointed times, yamim, days, and for shanim, for years. Says Rashi, ula moadim, al shem ha'asid, this refers to the future, sha'asidin yisrael istavos al ha'moados. In the future, the Jewish people are going to be commanded to follow and keep the festivals, Yemen Tovim, Vehem Nimnin, Lemolad, Halavana. How are they followed? How are they reckoned and determined? Based on the moon, right? They're based on our relationship vis-a-vis the moon. Okay? Good. Ulu Yamim, Shimush Achama Chatziyom, Veshimush Halavana Chatzio. The sun serves for half a day, and the moon serves for half a day. Harayom Shalim, and that's a full day. Shanim, Shanim is 365 days, right, of the year. And again, that's based on, we have the lunar calendar, we have the solar calendar, and that relationship, again, we're in the middle of a leap year, and that's we'll leave off. But you see here that according to Rashi, our days and our yontifs follow our relationship to the moon, and the moon exclusively. That's going to be very, very pivotal in discussing this issue. Additionally, and this is fascinating, the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah lists, fifth parak is like all lists, 10 generations from Adam to Noah, 10 generations from Noah to Abraham, 10 things that, right, 10 miracles that happened in the Beis HaMikdash, and then the Mishnah says, there are 10 things that were created on the sixth day, between the sixth day and the seventh day, and Bein HaShemashos of Erev Shabbos of creation. And the very last one on that list is, the very last one on that list is Midas Yom and Midas Laila. The measurement of day and the measurement of night. As if to say, the Mishnah is saying, that was like miraculous. The other things on that list are the mouth of Bilam's donkey. What's another thing on that list? This week's parsha. What? The Piyah Be'er, right? The mouth of the well that gave us water for so many years in the desert. The mouth of the pit of Korach in our parsha, right? The rainbow, right? So all miracles, and then all of a sudden, Midas Yom, Midas Laila, the length of day and night are mentioned there. And Rashi there says, Midas Yom is 12 hours, and Midas Laila is 12 hours. Right? So that, is it Levana? What is it based on that Mishnah? So a lot of this that we're going to discuss is rooted in a very familiar Shaila that Rabbi Liefer just raised. And that is, what if you go to a town that the sun does not set? And what I mean does not set, it literally doesn't set. It's called a midnight sun. I did not know this before preparing this year. A midnight sun means it's 12 o'clock at night and the sun's still up. There's one, probably more than one town, but the longest town in the entire world that has a sun like this is a town called, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, Longyearbyen. What? Longyearbyen in Norway. Okay? Longyearbyen in Norway. So if you visit there from April 19th to August 23rd, right? You go there now, essentially. How do you keep Shabbos? How do you daven Shabbos? Maariv. You ever daven Maariv? Right? Or we just say, oh no, two tefillahs for the next few months. What's the halacha? What's the halacha? So what we're going to do is discuss this halacha, right? Which is practical. Can a Jew go to Alaska during these months? And what do you do in Alaska during these months? right? That, again, there are cruises that go to Alaska all the time. What are they doing? Okay? And then we're going to bring it back to the moon. Okay, we'll go, now we're back on Earth, we're in Norway now, and we'll go back to the moon afterwards. So, there are a few major opinions out there. Rav Yaakov Emden, one of the Gedolim of the 1700s, in honor of, right, July 4th is this week, he died in 1776. Okay, April 19th, he didn't get to see the founding of America. 1776, he writes, fascinating. Nearly, it's in English and in Hebrew over here. Sheish limno sham shiva yamim shavim shakaf dal chos shavos shelanu umechashi biyom shegil sham mona hayamim b'shaos mekadesh hashvi. If you get to Longyearbyen, Norway, on a Tuesday afternoon at 4 p.m., you count 7 days from then, and that's Shabbos. Okay? Tuesday afternoon, you count, right? You count 24 hours, and the seventh day, what? What'd you say?
7 days after Tuesday.
Right, so, sorry, so. No, that Tuesday becomes like Sunday for you.
That's day one
for you, and then day seven, even though it's Tuesday, La'ine Ha'olam, for the world, for you, it's Shabbos. Okay? For you, it's Shabbos. Because the sun's out the whole time. How do you know? So you have an personal count. And your wife got stuck on a plane and she's coming a little bit later. So she's got a different count than you.
What if somebody else is there who arrived earlier, a few days earlier, so you need your Shabbos a different day?
Yes. Yes. That's all of the above. That's the answer. Yes. Yeah. And okay, and that's the Tiferes Yisrael, yeah. That's Sunday. So Tuesday for you is like Sunday, day one.
On Tuesday, right? So next day, one, Tuesday.
Yeah.
So Shabbos would be next Monday.
Yeah. 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 The Tiferes Yisrael in a very long time. The Tiferes Yisrael was a commentary on the Mishnah. On the Mishnah. No, if he came on Tuesday, he would do the same thing. I don't know. We could talk about it afterwards. Mechashim miyom shehigil l'sham, the day that he gets there. Umona hayamim b'shaos umekadesh shvi, and he sanctifies day seven. No, I'm in Rav Yaakov Emden. Yeah, top one. No, the Tiferes Yisrael does something completely different. The Tiferes Yisrael suggests, I'm not going to read it inside, but you can look at it. Again, I can send you. Baruch Hashem, a lot of Marukomas here. He suggests that it depends where, ultimately, it depends where you came from. So, if you came from Fairlawn, you count Fairlawn Zman. If you came from Baltimore, you count Baltimore Zman. You came from Johannesburg, Johannesburg Zman. It depends where you came from. And he says, Lefizeh. And he says, I agree. This is very strange. Imu, Shnei Anashim, Echad me America, vechad me Europa. You have two people. One comes from Europe, one comes from America. Kol echad yishmor shabbato lefi makom shiyatza misham. Everybody, right, keeps their Shabbos where they come from, but then he concludes with four very important words, at least in the Zman Komashi. Vein chayavim rak midurabanan. Midurabanan, not midaraisa. You wouldn't be chayav Shabbos midaraisa, right? Maybe you wouldn't be chayav certain halachos that are tolling on zman midaraisa. They asked Rav Shechter, okay? I'm not going to take a poll here. Who went there? Whatever. Should you go to Alaska Or sorry, they asked him like this. They said, what time do I keep Shabbos in Alaska when it's a 24-hour day? And he said, maybe we shouldn't go. Okay? It's not only him, Rav Simcha Bamberger, who was a Rav, a Zecher LeSimcha, his son asked him this question in the 1800s. Same conclusion, maybe you shouldn't go. Shouldn't go. Yes. No. So there's a night and there's a day. There's a sunset, so it's fine. Oh, I want to point out, the reason why Tiferes Yisrael was asked this question was because he lived in a city called Danzig, okay? He lived in a city called Danzig, which today, I just wrote this down. Gdansk, okay. You got to follow me around. Okay, great. So Gdansk, where they had the same issue as they had in Norway, in a smaller way. It was like for like a week or two where they had that issue. So he needed to pass Knet Shaila, Halach Lamaisa, for people visiting his town, and that's what he passed. Okay? The Rav Pa'olim, the Ben Ish Chai. We'll go a little quicker. The Ben Ish Chai, simply put, says, you go on Tuesday, it's Tuesday. Then Shabbos is Shabbos. But how do you, what's Zmanim? 6 a.m. is the morning, and 6 p.m. is the night. Period. Okay? 6 a.m. Oh, it's a sunset? No. 6 a.m. you're chayiv in shachris, you know, and that's your zmanim. So 12:30 approximately would be the chiyuv zman for mincha. Put on tefillah in the morning. Shabbos, you light your candles, 6 p.m. Maybe, sorry, 18 minutes before 6 p.m. you're going to light your candles on Friday afternoon. Okay? It's very, to cut and dry. The Ben Ish Chai Kedarcho brings wild proofs. Okay, I can't get into it. He discusses how did Moshe keep, you know, Moshe was on the mountain for 40 days, 40 nights. How did he keep Zmanim? When did Moshe put on tefillin? Right? When did Noach? Right? It was dark. Right? He argues. It was dark for 40 days, 40 nights. The Mabel was raining. So, where was? How did they keep? So, keep Zmanim. Assuming he kept Torah, right? So he discusses these issues, but it's really proofs that he quotes the Midrashim about Moshe Rabbeinu on the mountain. Ramosha Sternbach, very unique approach. He feels there is no nighttime. There is no nighttime during this time. There is only Yemama. There's only day. There would be no Maariv, right? There's only Shachar Mincha. And when's the next day? The next day begins when the sun gets to its lowest point. When the sun gets to its lowest point, that is day. Okay? Yes? It would be the same thing. The last two opinions.
And Shabbos is the Raisa, so it's a little. I mean, Shabbos is a Kova, whereas the Maariv is a different question.
You're right. Yeah. Right. So, but truth is, people won't travel necessarily to places that are fully dark. They want to travel when it's only light, right? Realistically. So, again, we saw Rav Emden, the Tiferes Yisrael, Rav Yisrael Lipschitz, we saw the Ben Ish Chai, Rosh Sternbach. Two more opinions. The Kleisenberger Rebbe, this is amazing. The Kleisenberger Rebbe says, what Zmanim do you follow? If you can't follow the Zmanim of where you're living, then where is a Jew's heart always? Eretz Yisrael. You follow the Zmanim of Eretz Yisrael. Right? Amazing. Emotionally, it's beautiful. Practically, it's very difficult. But emotionally, it's a beautiful answer. The Kleisenberger Rebbe. Many poskim feel that when it comes to this issue, that again, with the dateline, it's a similar thing. What do? You follow the town that's closest to this town that actually experiences a sunset. So wherever, you know, Longyearbyen, Norway is,
whatever the closest town is to it that experiences the sunset, you follow that Zman. Okay? So we've seen 6 different opinions, you know, over here. Sorry. So we've seen A, Rav Shechter, the Zeich LeSimcha, and the Minchas Elazar, the Minchas HaRebbe, all say, don't go. Don't go to these places. Again, you already saw, Rav Shermach earlier says, don't go to the moon. Don't go to the moon because you might be pater from all mitzvos, or mitzvos Shatoli Bizman. Don't go. Then we saw the Tiferes Yisrael. It's based on where you came from. Rav Yaakov Emden says you have your own personal account. And by the way, a lot of this is totally on a Gemara, which became relevant in Hawaii. A woman got lost in Hawaii for 19 days a few weeks ago. Baruch Hashem, she survived. But the Gemara talks about what if you forget your track of days? You don't know what day it is. Right, think of Jews in the Holocaust. They don't know what day. When you keep Shabbos? It's Machlokas in the Gemara. You keep the first day, right? Or sorry, the next day? Or do you keep day 7? And again, the Achronim that we're discussing, root it back to that Gemara over there. That's the Ben Ishchai, 6 a.m., 6 p.m. And then we have Rav Moshe Shturmbach, who says, you only have day, you don't have night. So now, let's connect this back to going to the moon. Rav Levi Yitzchak Halperin, in his Sefer Esek Shemayim, has 3 major suggestions. Number one, you could read it inside. I have 2 pages here, but there's definitely more out there. It's a whole Sefer. He says that maybe every 90 minutes is a new day. If every 90 minutes is a new day, then you're pretty busy. You're not doing anything else except for davening, right? And men are putting on their tefillin, taking them off, and making kiddush and lighting Shabbos candles. What? 16 times in a day, yeah. Right. Oh, Rabbeinu Tam, forget about it. You have 2 Jews in space. One's keeping this man, one's keeping that man. Forget about it. So the other opinion is also very impractical, where he suggests, again, it goes at Efsharut, possibly, that you follow wherever you're above. Which they could tell. So, but that also is like, it's Shabbos, it's Sunday, it's Monday, you're jumping around. It's an impossibility. But again, maybe halakhically, that's the appropriate way to do it based on where you are literally rooted in the ground. The third suggestion, which he makes and he likes, is similar to what we mentioned before. And that is the Ben Ishchai, 12 and 12. 12 hours. Whatever day you left on Wednesday from Cape Canaveral, you keep 12 hours and you keep 12 hours. And that's 6 a.m., 6 p.m. Those are your personal Zmanim, because there is no Zman. However, as much as he likes this approach, he takes it about face. And he says it's very difficult to say that midoraisa, you'd be obligated in keeping Shabbos on the moon or when you're orbiting the earth. Why is that? Because only, he goes back to that Rashi, we determine our Zmanim vis-a-vis where we are, klape, the moon. And if, right, when we're on earth, we're not on earth, then he says you should keep all the mitzvos, midirabanan. You shouldn't forget about the mitzvos, right? People, you know, they're talking about colonizing for who knows how long. You could forget about a Shabbos, you could forget about a Pesach. You should keep the mitzvos, but he believes, ultimately, midirabanan. Midirabanan, not midiraisa. The Nite Gavriel, however, he feels that, again, he quotes it, maybe it's akin to forgetting your time and keeping Shabbos day 7, day 1, or like the Ben Ishchai, and he feels that midiraisa, on a biblical level, you would be obligated in Shabbos. Okay? It's a big difference. I don't know personally, I don't know what Ilan Ramon did. He passed away, he died on the way down. So he was there for a few weeks. I don't know what he did. I believe he did say Kiddush on your. I have an article if you want. Anyone wants to read it, learn it afterwards. How do you say Kiddush when all of the wine is going to fly out of your cup? So how are you chayiving Kiddush? You have to put a cap on the cup. But can you put a cap on the cup? You have to, the wine has to be easily accessible to you. So I, Rabbi Dr. Tzvi Reisman, who's a Rav in, and a cardiologist, I believe, in California, in L.A., he wrote an article on this also. Like I said, it's been a lot of fun looking into this. Yes. What did you say? Right. So, again, Rav Kasher, again, the majority opinion says, no question, unequivocal, you should keep all those mitzvahs. It's not a question. Chobos Agavra. The huge chiddush was Rabbi Fierer, who suggests that maybe you're pater from everything. So, right, that's the most expensive cheeseburger that a Jew would want to have, according to Rav Fierer. But that is not normative opinion at all. You can't wash your hands. Oh, okay. Right. It's impossible. Yeah. Need an air on the moon. Right. That's going to be tough to do. It's going to be tough to do. You got to figure that out. Okay. Right. It's just around. Yeah. Yeah. Based on the psukim?
Yeah.
We'll have to learn it. We'll have to learn them inside.
I'm just questioning.
Yeah.
Science always had that everything was going around.
Science has changed, right?
Science has changed.
Yeah.
What was the problem of that?
Yeah. What are the rabbanim thing? I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. Yeah. Like you said, I don't know. Yeah, so I don't know. I have to look. I have to look into that more and see. I wasn't focusing on that approach, and to see what they're exactly focusing on. I don't know. But I'd like to conclude with three points over here. What were the Rabbanim saying at the time? So I found a few different drushos from Rabbi Dr. Lamb. Rabbi Lamb addressed this in three different drushos. He addressed it first in 1968 when I believe they put a satellite to orbit the moon. He addressed it then. In a drasha entitled, the drasha was titled Lunar Perspective. I did not put that here. And then July 19th, 1969, which is the day before, in anticipation, his drasha on Shabbos morning was about the moon. And Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah, second day of Rosh Hashanah, he addressed it as well as Rav Shlomo Volbi Zatzal. Shlomo Volbi Zatzal is a huge gadol, mashkiach in Eretz Yisrael for many years. They published his writings and his speeches, and in Kitetze 1969, he discussed it. The Shabbos, just to point out, anyone know the moon landing happened the same week as Tisha B'Av? It was Shabbos Chazon, Parshas Devarim, when Rabbi Lamb gave his drasha. Right, so it's like very interesting. That's when it happened. And I've nothing to say about that, but I'm sure people can think about the connection if there is. And then Rabbi Volbi wrote about it a few weeks later. So I wanted to share. Rabbi Lamb, in two points, and the big discussion was, did we need to spend so much money on this? Was it so important? And Rabbi Lamb makes the following point. Was it so important to put a United States flag there? Or could this have been something, right? And I'm not getting into the movie where somebody just told me that they took the flag out of the movie. What he wrote about is, wouldn't this have been a greater display of achdus for the entire world to get together, or at least the superpowers to get together and do this in a united way instead of having a space race? That's one point that he makes. And I think that's a very important point to think about. Always to find ways for us to connect and find ways for us that we agree in, instead of finding all the ways that, you know, keep us, you know, disconnected. Point number one. Point number two is, this is an amazing homiletic pshat. Tiku bako de shofar, you blow the shofar, bakasela yom chagenu, in the time when the moon was hidden. You blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah when the time the moon was hidden. Rabbi Lam says, everybody's talking about the moon, but what does Rosh Hashanah do? It covers up the moon. It covers, stop talking about it. Focus on the shofar. Focus on what's important. Right? The moon's hidden on Rosh Hashanah. In 69, that's all people were talking about. He says something, that's great. But focus on connection. Focus on reawakening ourselves in spirituality, reconnecting ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rav Volbi makes a great sharp point that only a Musar personality like him can make. For 21 days after the three astronauts came back, they were sequestered, right? For 21 days. Why? Not connected to the 3 weeks at all, I don't think. But they were sequestered because they were afraid of bacteria. What could they have gotten on the moon, right? So they're afraid, so they had to be cleaned off for 21 days. Rav Volbi says the opposite. He says, you go look at the moon, and it's such a... He says, what if the Chafetz Chaim went up to the moon? That's what he writes. The Chafetz Chaim went to the moon. You know what the Chafetz Chaim would say? Whoa. This is a clean place. This place is completely spiritually pure. This is a tahor. This is a place that is so holy, right? It's untainted. It's kadosh. And he says, look at the way other people look at it. Now one person stepped there, oh, bacteria, be sequestered, stay away. No. Right? The way that a Jew looks at the world is that every place is a potential for Kedusha. Every place is about Tahara and Kedusha and connection to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. A reframing that Rabbi Lam said in such a beautiful way, right, to think about that, that it's not only about, right, it's about the moon today, but it's really about the earth. It's about what we can do here to make our lives more meaningful. To make every single tefillah that we say, every single opportunity that we learn, every connection that we have, al ha'aretz, in the time that we have here, to make that more meaningful. I think that's the message. That's the message of our shiur. Just to review, we discussed today three big issues. Number one, Kiddush Levana. Kishem Shani Roke Kidei Kach Eini Yachol in Goa B. Right? What does that mean? All the Rabbanim were in an uproar. How can we say that pasuk? How can we say that line? The Siddur, Rav Goren, Labrav, and Lubavitcher Rebbe. Keeping mitzvos in general. Rav Firer, Rav Kasher, major debate amongst the Gedolim. And then the final issue is keeping Shabbos. Again, keeping Shabbos in the Arctic Circle in Norway. And then keeping Shabbos on the moon, how are they connected or not? I wish everybody a wonderful day. It should be a day where we utilize this message of the moon and take advantage of the moments that we have here to do more mitzvos and have more connection. Have a great day.